Right.
Scarlett, can you say two grown men?
Grown man.
Can you say two grown men?
Grown man.
Can you say two?
Two grown man.
No, two grown men.
Grown man.
Two.
Grown man.
Two grown men. That's a big help on me, thank you. Can you say, Scarlett, two grown men?
Man.
Go on, say it. Two grown men. So I don't work with bleeding animals and stuff. To make this a video call because I wanted to see your face, but then I realized that wouldn't be helpful for podcasting, and also it would only really work if you had a webcam switched on.
I don't have a webcam. Does it surprise you to learn I haven't got a webcam?
It does, because I've always wondered, I've always thought that would be a really good revenue stream for you.
No, I go and do that live, mate, down the docks on a Friday night.
That's so last century.
And it's not the excellent revenue stream you'd expect it to be.
You really, really need to keep your keep yourself safe if you're doing that.
I'm 6'3" and about 1,000 tons, mate. I'm perfectly safe.
Like Sheriff Fat Man.
I am. I'm 6'6" and 100 tons, and I am the undisputed king of the slums. Although, to be honest with you, Klaus Barbie did actually have more aliases than me, so.
All right.
Where the similarities end.
We sound different this week. The reason we sound different is because this is a Skype call.
Overeating.
Yes, and this is a Skype call. We try to avoid Skype calls if we possibly can. This is that was to the listener. You already know that this is a Skype call, James.
Yeah, I'm well aware.
Also, technical difficulties mean that our hard out, which was this was going to be a 30-minute call, means it is now going to be about a 10-minute call.
Yeah, that's good.
Which I wonder if we can actually manage it. Are you all ready for Christmas?
As long as you and Amy and Noah are in at some point tomorrow, yes.
oh my goodness.
Otherwise,
yeah, I think we are actually. Why? What were you going to do? Well, was it supposed to be a surprise?
Well, no, we just need to pop in because we've got stuff for Noah. Because obviously we're not allowed to buy for the adults this year, which...
Yes, actually. That's interesting because that almost provides a professional segue. In our house, Amy's decided that because buying presents for adults is a hassle, especially with this being our first year with a baby in the house, we decided not to do presents with most people. If there are people that we could say to them, this year, can we not do presents for each other? We've done that, which is kind of good. Because I would have ended up buying all of your presents anyway, probably.
It's a lot less hassle. I mean, it means I've had to go to one less Amazon wish list.
Well, the thing that normally happens, though, is that you quite often... I don't know if it's just because you've been really skint the last few years, or if it's just that you like to give people a present that is expressive of your inner... your own personal abilities, your creativity.
Mm.
So you've got us this absolutely lovely sweet chili jam.
Yes.
The last couple of years, you haven't got us it. You've made us it.
I have made it, yeah.
Which is absolutely lush.
Thank you.
It's really nice. I'm kind of gutted that we're not getting a fresh batch this year. But that's fine. I understand that entirely.
The year's not over. I get paid on Friday. There is every chance you may still get some before the end of the year.
Yeah, that'll really wind Amy up because she'll be like, "Oh well, God, but we haven't got you." So it's almost worth doing just for that.
Okay, I'll do that then.
I think. Yeah, so the reason that's quite a useful segue is it's based on a BBC recipe, is that right?
It is based on a BBC Good Food recipe.
But you've done your own obviously, as happens with recipes over the years, as you get older, you kind of add things to it, or you do things your own way slightly, you streamline certain things, you go, who even bothers with caster sugar? Stuff like that.
Definitely not. Bit more, I'm just a bit more laissez-faire with it. More chilies, more garlic.
Yeah.
Well,
it works.
It does. It's pretty simple recipe.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure it'd have to be, wouldn't it? Yeah. But anyway, so we talked about the mailing list last week, and then we went off and did the mailing list. Mm. We started it. It's at tinyletter.com/2GM. And what that mailing list will be, it doesn't cost anything, listener. What that mailing list will be, will be the show notes for that week. We haven't had show notes the last couple of weeks because I've been infirm and a bit rubbish, but it'll be the show notes for that week and any extra little things we want to throw in. And this week it's going to have James's recipe for sweet chili.
You're welcome. You're welcome, listener.
Yeah. Is it sweet chili jam?
Sweet chili jam. Yeah.
Oh, it's lovely. Yeah. So keep a lookout for that. Definitely worth taking a look at the mailing list, if only because if you don't already get enough self-deprecating, sort of fairly negative, but also slightly narcissistic in that weird way that podcasters are, the narcissism, but also the self-loathing. If you don't get enough of that normally, there's more of it in the mailing list, and also jam recipes.
For people like us, is like podcasting the modern equivalent of wanking in front of the mirror and crying?
Yes, it is exactly that.
If Kenneth Williams was alive now, he would definitely podcast a lot.
Oh, almost definitely, and he'd be so good at it as well.
Oh, for sure.
We are kind of notionally a parenting podcast, so I did just want to say, because I keep forgetting to mention it, I've been off work for a few days now. I don't know, are you off work now?
Oh yes.
Well, tomorrow's Christmas Eve anyway, but are you off for the next 2 weeks?
I haven't. I've got a full 2 weeks off.
Oh, yeah. I've been spending a lot of time just playing with Noah and cuddling and doing all of the, like, in a way that I haven't been able to do since my paternity leave.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've been wanting to talk about for the last few weeks but keep forgetting because it's such a silly little thing is, I know that he will always find ways to, like, emotionally move me. You know, at some point it's going to transition into resentment and anger, but it'll still be emotions.
Well, eventually get to the point where he needs to kill you to take your place, won't he?
Yes, that's also true. And I think he'll win, to be honest. He's got quite a strong grip.
It's not going to be hard. You've made it easy for him, which I think is very caring.
But the one thing that he does at the moment, which is meaningless because it's just kind of a reflex, I'm sure of it, but I already know, I get a pang every time, and I already know that I'm going to miss it so much when he stops, is when he's half asleep or you're feeding him with a bottle and he's kind of drifting off a little bit, and every time his hand just, because he seems so big now, it's really weird. He seems quite big now, but his hands are still so tiny. Mm. And every time he kind of absent-mindedly just rests his hand on you, on your arm, it just, every time, I go all soppy. I can't. I guess I even do that. I've just realized it's something that dogs do as well. And it's always kind of, in their case, I think it's kind of an ownership thing. They're saying, you're mine.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You still kind of, it still feels like it's somehow really meaningful.
Same with Noah.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it is, yeah. And this other thing he's doing at the moment, and I kind of hope he always does, is when he kind of gets a bit, when you're holding him, and he gets a little bit overcome with, like, how much he likes you, because it's all very immediate with him at this age.
Yeah.
When he buries his head in, like, sometimes he'll just laugh, but other times he'll just bury his face in you because literally he can't contain himself. And that's the thing, the inability to contain himself is something that I hope he'll have forever, but I don't think he will, to be honest. He'll lose that. And I'm already kind of sad about it a little bit.
Yeah, pretty quickly as well.
Is Scarlett quite cynical?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she was. We were watching the Santa Claus today. She's like, there's no way Tim Allen's becoming Santa Claus dad. You're having a laugh. She much preferred the Raymond Biggs version that was on Channel 4 this morning. And in fact, since we watched that this morning, she hasn't stopped saying blooming, which I find delightful.
That is funny, but it is basically a swear.
Yeah, but you know. She was talking to Nicola earlier and saying her blooming knee hurts, which I thought was wonderful. Awesome.
Oh, that's adorable.
I've just had the best day with her today. It's this year, first year that we're properly aware of Christmas. Uh-huh. She knew something was happening exciting last year because we kept telling her, but she wasn't really sort of properly dialed into it. This year, properly knows what's happening, knows all the tricks. You can even use the whole naughty and nice list to control her, which is...
Oh, nice.
It's blissful. I mean, it's really useful. Really useful having a giant red elf that you can use to coerce your child. But, just today's been really, really lovely with her. Nikki's been working, so that was good too. But
is that cultural indoctrination, though? Is she getting that from other kids and from television?
And mostly from me. But, it's cultural indoctrination I'm prepared to go with. But she's been really ill the last few days as well, like properly not very well, throwing up, really high temperature, didn't want to do anything at all. So she's been pretty much back to herself today. So today's been a barrel of laughs after, you know what it's like when Noah's had like a sniffle or something? It's just horror. It's such a horrible sensation. It's sort of like you're so worried for them, but I'm actually not in the way that I'm worried when Nicola gets a cold. I'm perfectly, she's fine. She'll get over it in a few days, but you worry so much more when it's your kid.
He's only had one really bad cold, and it was quite bad, and it was like clogging up his nose completely with snot and stuff. It was at a point when he's only really breathing through his nose. So, it was a bit worrying. I mean, we had a similar thing. We had our first Christmas. No, it was our second early Christmas with our friends Oki and Matt on Saturday. And Noah was still pretty good. I know we were very spoiled by him. He was still pretty good, but his teething is intersecting with doing anything else. And so he hasn't quite been himself. And he was a bit grizzly, and we were just all feeling really sorry for him for most of the time. Today he saw some old friends of ours who live in the US and are just over at the moment. The old friends from City College where we used to work, and he was actually completely delightful. And I was worried because we went out to a pub and we were out in that really nasty rain and wind that we've had.
Horrendous today.
Yeah. But no, he was really good, and he was back to, I sometimes get worried that he's slightly losing that, he's perfectly happy to meet new people. And actually, it's funny, I worry that like he'll lose that whenever we go to a new place or meet new people and he's a bit grizzly. I'm thinking, oh, I hope he isn't losing it. But actually, I think it's a bit more immediate than that, because we've been talking about it. We were just, Amy and I were just talking about what stage he'd be at the moment. Somebody's knocking on
the front. Sounded like drums in the deep, mate. It was really scary.
Yeah, it's our next door neighbours. This is the other reason why recording from home is a bit of a nightmare, because they're always annoying student teenagers next door making loads of noise. Actually, it's not that different from recording in a studio at the university.
Yeah, that's true.
We were talking a little bit about which stage of development he's at the moment. And apparently people believe, we don't know how true this is, but people believe he's at that point where his short-term memory is probably only about like a minute. It's really not very long at all. But his long-term memory can go to about 10 days. So he will be kind of And he's forming pathways as well. So even though he still doesn't have object permanence, he still doesn't know when we're not there. He isn't aware that we still exist, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But he does recognize us now, and he's forming preferences. He's forming preferences for each of us, as opposed to other people, and people that he sees quite regularly, he will immediately go in his head, "Oh, I know you." He won't remember you until he sees you, but then he'll be like, "Oh, I know you. Hang on. No, I like you. You make me happy." I really registered it with the dogs first.
Sure.
Because I was like, I know he seems delighted by them every time, but if he was literally just experiencing them for the first time every time, you'd think that on balance there'd be some times when they completely freaked him out. But no, he's definitely formed a bond with them. And which seems to be reciprocated. There's lots of licking.
There's nothing more rewarding, though, than your child firstly recognising you and then taking delight in the fact that they've recognised you.
Yeah.
I had that little bit with Scarlett on Friday. She went to stay with her grandparents, despite the fact that she was under the weather. Went to a pantomime. She was bushed, though, by the time she finished with them. So I went to get her out of the car after Nikki got home on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And she stirred, woke up, and I got a really excited "Daddy!"
Mm-hmm.
out of her, which is fantastic. Instead of crying or whistling, and then she started babbling at me about the pantomime she'd just been on. But that was just the most rewarding thing in the world. It's just such an excited acknowledgement of who I was, and so it's very nice. And we get, I had a "Daddy, I love you" today, which is always nice. It's nice having all of that. It's yeah.
I'm a little bit, because at the moment I find every noise he makes, because he's really working on the whole noises things. I find every noise he makes quite hilarious and just lots of fun. But there is going to be that point, isn't there, where he's just going to be babbling at me constantly.
Today was, there were times when actually I wanted a little bit of respite from the little girl following me around. Mm-hmm. "Daddy, daddy, 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 daddy." It was, yeah.
And it's all nonsense though, isn't it?
A lot of it, yeah. Lot of pom pom poo poo and all of that.
I'm taking liberties with the time. There's beef bourguignon waiting for me downstairs as well, which has been cooking on the slow cooker all day. We're having quite a nice time at the moment. Amy and I seem to be getting on okay, which is good. Literally makes me think that maybe it is work that is the main source of tension in our house.
Almost certainly.
But anyway.
We're very similar, although I was very tense over the weekend. I take a very long time to wind down into a holiday normally. I get very anxious. I hate work, but I crave the structure that work gives my life.
Yeah.
So, it takes me quite a long time to sort of tune into holiday time.
I don't crave that structure, but it does... There are things that I do when I'm sat at a desk that I don't do when I'm drifting around. I don't crave the structure, but it definitely, not having it has an impact on me. And the other problem is that I already feel the holiday trickling away a little bit. We are booked quite solid over the, over the next couple of weeks. And there are things that I need to do. Mm. One thing, there is apparently a Richard and Judy, competition going on for people to send in the first 10,000 words of their novel, and like a synopsis of everything else that happens in it.
You definitely need to get on that shit, my friend.
Well, the novel that I think about a lot, but I haven't actually written any new stuff for in a really long, like years. There's more than 10,000 words of it, and I know what it's going to do and how it's going to go. And so, yeah, I have to brush that off, but that's one of the things I have to do over the next few days as well. I have to not play so many video games. I've been playing this game called Little Inferno and lots of Prison Architect and stuff, and I need to not do as much of that because it keeps me up really, really late and makes me really, really tired, and it's not actually productive. So, yeah, you're right, I do. And Amy's kind of suggested as much as well. So, yeah, I already feel a bit like the weeks are going away.
Yes.
Really quickly.
I would agree with you, but I'm trying to compartmentalize that and just enjoy it, because actually that's where a lot of my my holiday anxiety comes from, is the fact that just time seems to go fast enough at the best of times. But when you're on leave, it just seems to fly by at a terrifying rate. It really does.
But yeah, so we're excited. It'll be Noah's first Christmas, so it's all very good. A couple of things I've meant to mention over the last couple of weeks, and again, haven't, but one that is really pertinent is we saw This Is 40 a couple of weeks ago. We actually watched Alan Partridge again a couple of nights ago, and that was very fun. But yeah, This Is 40 is kind of it's a notional sequel to the film Knocked Up. Which I really like. I know it has its, people who don't like it. Have you seen it?
Nope.
All right. Okay. It's one of the Judd Apatow films, and This Is 40 is basically following two of the characters from that they're a married couple. They're financially stretched too thin. They've got two kids, two daughters, and they've got such a fractious relationship. It's unbelievable. And I think it's very autobiographical, not least because the wife and the two kids are actually Judd Apatow's wife and two kids.
Ooh.
And Paul Rudd plays the husband, and I love Paul Rudd, who is apparently
been
announced as Ant-Man.
Yes, and Paul Rudd is Apatow's idealized version of himself.
I think so. He's a very ideal. He's a very handsome man, Paul Rudd. I'm not sure Judd Apatow is. I've heard it criticized a lot more negatively than positively, this film. And a lot of the criticisms are true. It is about people who largely just complain and are quite venal and vindictive and don't communicate with each other particularly well. And the other criticism I've heard about it is that there's no real story. It's just a bunch of scenes, which I don't think is entirely true, but it's just a bunch of scenes of things that happen to them, and there's no real conclusion to it and start to it or conclusion to it.
Sounds like life, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, that's what I was going to say.
Sorry.
It's the biggest complaint I had about it was it's one of those films. When a film has a really realistic portrayal of an adult relationship in it, with all the negative things that entails, and it has two people having a difficult conversation that is familiar to me, I spend a lot of time thinking, is this going to dredge up a whole bunch of stuff? Are Amy and I going to end up arguing about this afterwards? Normally what happens is we actually really enjoy it. It's not unlike the song Mardi Bum, which we talked about a lot before, where there's that suggestion that it might be quite tense, that it might cause tension, but actually we can both relate to it and it's fine. I thought This Is 40 was great. I actually think it's a slightly idealized version of the very difficult adult relationships we have. You know, where there are two people who are clearly in love with each other, and they've got so much history in common, and they've got this family in common, and yet still struggle so much to get on with each other. It's just like, it felt like practically like real life to me.
Are you trying to?
I don't know.
Are you trying to tell me something, Nick?
No.
Is it over between us? Is that what you're?
No. what I'm saying is, oh no, that did sound like us, didn't it? It isn't a Hollywood film, particularly. Yeah. It isn't a laugh a minute, and some of it's downright depressing. But I think you at least would like it.
It sounds like
probably. I thought it was really good. There's also this very early scene in it where two husbands are talking to each other while they're cycling or something like that, and they have a discussion about whether or not they ever imagine, whether each one ever imagines that their wife just isn't there anymore, that she's died. Nothing cruel, nothing violent or painful, but what if she just wasn't there anymore? and how that would be. And that's a conversation that people don't ever admit to, or a thought process that people never admit to having. It's not a positive one. It's not presented as a, wouldn't it be awesome in the thing? But it is kind of, it was very weird. I think it's, there's a sort of person who will admit to themselves that they sometimes think that way. And that person will probably really enjoy this film.
Good. I know. I really like the sound of it. I actually found that I was watching a sitcom I've not seen before, Hepburn, last night. The Vit Reeves.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Which is surprisingly good. Really enjoyed it. And it's a Christmas special. And it's essentially Vit Reeves. And I forget the actress who plays his wife. It's a little bit like, what was the Corden thing? A few years ago, set in Wales.
Oh, it's the characters' names.
Yeah, that's it. And it's basically, I think Hepburn sort of seems to revolve around these two families that are brought together by an unlikely coupling. So the son of one family and the daughter of another. But the Vit Reeves family, they accidentally have the much posher, a much more Jewish family. Of their sons, of their daughter-in-law, accidentally end up having to stay theirs over Christmas after the car gets stolen, and various things obviously go wrong. And I quite like the fact that at one point the father, Vit Reeves, goes into the kitchen and starts crying. He has a little cry because it's all going wrong, and then his son comes in and they both have a cry and empathise, and then the mum comes in. Crying, and she looks at them both and says, "What are you doing in here? You can't be in here. This is where I come to cry." That's the one that chimed with me. I said to Nicola, "We should have our own designated crying zones in the flat."
You know, and did she say, "Well, I never cry"?
She just punched me in the face and told me to man up.
There's a really interesting strain. There's a conversation to be had another time, but there's a really interesting strain of quite naturalistic. Relationship TV comedy in Britain at the moment, which is kind of nice. There's Him and Her is quite nice. And actually, you mentioning Vic Reeves made me think of Catterick, which we can talk about some other time. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's great.
I never saw Catterick, and I thought I should have. I don't know what happened. I think it was one of those things. It was never on at a time where I was, and Catch Up TV was a little bit more.
I don't know if it exist then. Bob Mortimer is brilliant in it. But another thing that does relate to parenting, Amy has just started reading The Road. I don't know if it's going to resonate as much with her as it did with me, because it is, she's reading it after having been told by so many people who either seen the film or read the book, including me, it is really depressing. It's really good, but it's really depressing and heartbreaking.
Can you hear Scarlett bellowing in the background?
What's she shouting? Is she shouting obscenities?
I don't know. She's bellowing something at her mum.
I can hear her.
No, I think she's singing.
Oh, okay.
I think it might be singing.
I'll let you go and listen to her properly in a second. But yeah, Amy's reading the Road, and. Yeah, I think it's one of those things I've told you, I've said to you so many times before, and I've been guilty of it this time. When you are told over and over again, oh, such and such thing is really depressing, or oh, you'll be really sad by the end of it, or whatever, that is a form of spoiler.
Yes.
If you overdo it, that a book or a film is going to really struggle to live up to. And the other thing that, from your point of view, I don't know if you've read The Road, but you really should. And I'm guessing, have you not seen the film either? See, I haven't seen the film, so I don't know if it resonates as much. I don't know if it's going... I don't know if... It's about a father and his son after the end of the world.
Okay.
Basically, they're going through this world that has ended, that has effectively already ended. All of the energy's going out of it. And when I read it, it's very hard for me, and it'll be interesting to see how Amy reacts to it. It's very hard for me to know if what resonates about it is that if it's the father-son relationship that resonates or the parent-child relationship that resonates. I don't know if there's anything sort of specific or gendered in that, but, so I don't know if it's going to break her heart as much as, I mean, I, since Noah's been born, I've kind of decided I don't think I'm going to be able to read The Road again. Because it's just too much, you know. I recommend it. I do recommend it, James, if only because I like the thought of you crying.
Well, to be fair, father and son stuff sets me off for a different reason. So.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I think that's possibly... because I have a slightly like fractious relationship with my parents, yeah. And father-son stuff does always hit me, because I think for almost opposite reasons to your reasons, but for similar reasons as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, and the other thing is, this week we started watching Orange is the New Black.
Okay, I've seen that on Netflix and not really sort of know what to make of it. It's set in a prison, right?
Yeah, it's really good. It's made using the Netflix model. Mm. It's funded using the Netflix model. So far, I think it's probably the most impressive thing. Having not seen the most recent series of Arrested Development, and also having not seen the remake of House of Cards, is it?
Yeah,
that they've done on Netflix.
I adore Arrested Development, though.
The reason I think this is more impressive without having seen the others is this is like a whole new thing. Arrested Development had a certain amount of traction.
Well, Lilyhammer's an original Netflix drama. I think that's one of the best things on Netflix. I've heard
about that. Is it worth watching?
It's very, very good. It seems very broad to start with, but actually, there's a really satisfying, sinister undercurrent. It's like a much funnier Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Much funnier. We might try and watch that. Certainly Orange is the New Black. I'm really enjoying it. I think it's very well made, and the characters and the acting and the writing, it's all really good. It's got an ex-Star Trek captain as well in it. Katie Mulgrew's in it.
Oh, right.
And Natasha Lyonne, who I really, really like.
Actually, that's unfair, because she was quite a good captain. I mean, that was a hell of a blooming chore she had on her hands, taking her crew all that way back across the galaxy. You know,
yeah.
Picard was basically sat in the most powerful ship in his sector, wasn't he? I mean,
yeah.
How big were his balls? Not very, really.
Not compared to hers. And she had to make some tough decisions because of that situation.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't have to get into that. not right now, anyway. The interesting thing about Orange is the New Black is while I'm watching it, I'm kind of... I'm appreciating how well made it is and how well scripted. Amy is having a complete sort of... It's completely resonating with her because... She's finding it very scary, the situations this character's in. It's all done with quite a relatively light touch. But this woman finding herself in a women's prison, there's an unfortunate set of circumstances gets her there that couldn't happen to anyone. But at the same time, she's not a hardened criminal. And she ends up in this situation, and there's... menace, she's kind of menaced, but at the same time, there's very much this, there's times when she's isolated, and I think Amy was like resonating with how scary that situation would be.
How many years did Amy do in the end?
Well, it was like, I think it was, she ended up with a suspended sentence for time served or something like that. So she was in for 6 months and then, so they said that 6 months was her time served and stuff like that. But that was while waiting for trial. It's very confused. I don't really understand it, to be honest. It really should be legal by now anyway. So I just find the whole thing
it's mad. It's not, you know.
Yeah. No, anyway, we've talked for way longer than I intended us to. Should have been obvious. My beef bourguignon will have gone cold by now. It won't have because it's still in the slow cooker. I've talked too much.
We can probably talk for another hour, and the boeuf bourguignon, all that's going to happen is that meat is just going to become a little more delicious and tender.
Yeah, that is the interesting thing about the slow cooker.
Yeah.
But I can't leave Amy. No. I've lied to her too much. That sounded like a sentence out of a completely different conversation. I can't leave Amy. I've lied to her too much. We might see you tomorrow.
Yes, I'll give you a text. It'll be early afternoon, hopefully. I'd quite like to get my daughter to wish you a happy Christmas.
Nick, that'd be lovely.
Can I call for her? Is that right?
Oh, you mean now?
Yeah, right now. Is that right? Okay, I think she will. Well, let's see if she will.
Scarlett! Come and see Daddy!
Scarlett's on her way. She's coming to see Daddy. Hello, Scarlett. I'm talking to Uncle Nick on here. Will you say happy Christmas to him there? Just say happy Christmas! No, out loud with your mouth. Come here, darling. Say happy Christmas. No? Okay. She doesn't want to say happy Christmas.
It's because she knows you're trying to trick her into being on a podcast.
You sure you don't want to say happy Christmas? That's tough. I'll send you a little MP3 file. So,
okay. Thanks. That was a non-event. Okay, well, I'll probably see you tomorrow. That doesn't really, that isn't really useful for the podcast listener to hear. The all of their past episodes are still up there at 2gm.co. It's been, I think, I can speak for James in saying that, because it is kind of a watershed. We started in the middle of the year. Approximately, a little bit after the middle of the year. But it is like our first year of doing this podcast, kind of. Yeah. We've been doing it in 2013. It's going to be in 2014. It's been really fun so far, and we've had really lovely feedback from people.
It's lovely. I love doing it, Nick, actually. It's nice.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. I like doing it. I love doing it too. I don't want to undersell it.
I really, really love them.
I love it more than anything except Noah. And my wife and my dogs.
I love it more than my family.
Okay, fair enough, you win.
Oh.
are they still, is Nicholas still listening to this?
No, we've just had some friends turn up. So I've been locked in our bedroom with two very excited dogs who want to go and see the guests.
That sounds amazing.
I'm going to have a hell of a time when I get to finish this call. I'm not leaving this room until we're all satisfied.
The past episode's still up there. You can leave comments there. That mailing list that I mentioned before, it's tinyletter.com/2GM. We're not going to be clogging you up with loads and loads of emails, listener. Probably only one a week, at most two a week, but probably only the one. The show notes will be in there, but there'll also be little extras. And one of the reasons I opted for Tiny Letter as opposed to other options that were open to us is apparently you can actually email reply straight back to that mailing list, and we will get it, and we can get your immediate feedback to the show or to the mailing list. So tinyletter.com/2GM, and you can leave comments on our Facebook. Everything's linked from the website, 2gm.co. 2gm.co. Four more years.
Don't actually say about that. I might do a little consumer piece about how I almost became the victim of a phishing scam.
Oh, yeah, do that.
What a mug.
What a mug. They mugged you right off.
Very nearly.
Actually, yeah, no, that can go in the mailing list. Drop us 15 words about that, please, James.
I will give you exactly 15 words.
This has taken half an hour longer than we said it would. I'll speak to you soon, James.
I'll see you later, Mickey, Nick. Happy Christmas, mate.
Happy Christmas, dude.